Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Michael Kist.
You caught me not listening again.
Benjamin Solak.
You never listen!
It's the Kist and Solak Show, presented by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation.
You are flying high on the Kist and Solak Show, episode 129, brought to you by the fine folk at SB Nation, Bleeding Green Nation. Michael Kist here with Benjamin Solak. Let's talk about this game. Ben, brother, I mean, we came into this thing knowing that it wasn't going to be close. We're already recording. It's midway through the fourth quarter. The Eagles just racked up their ninth sack on the day, which is the ultimate regression to the mean after some early struggles this season. Not sure what we can take away from it, but right now the Eagles are up 31-6, taking care of business like they should be doing. How you doing, brother?
Nine sacks today?
That's a lot.
Man, everything is delicious, isn't it? I mean, that's just... But this is right. This is like, okay, so the Eagles have an insane amount of pressures and a really low amount of sacks. And then, obviously, they play a really bad Jets offensive line with a quarterback who doesn't have great pocket presence in Luke Falk. And this is what happens. This is what you... I don't want to say it's what you'd expect. I think you'd expect, like, five.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
This is nine, which is twice as much as that. But this is obviously a very good sign for an Eagles offensive line that's been struggling, an Eagles defensive line that has been struggling to get sacks over the first 4 weeks of the season. Now, they're not fully back, you know, in terms of like we shouldn't expect dominant performances week in and week out. This is probably one of the worst offensive lines, if not the worst, they're going to face this year.
Yeah.
So it's that classic situation of good, but it's what you expected to see. So box checked, nothing more. I will say that when Brandon Graham ends the season with 5.5 sacks, 6.5 sacks, it's going to look okay.
You looked at
this
game.
But we're going to have to remember that literally three of them came against the Jets here. So
yeah, I mean, he started out the day on the first drive with a sack. What the Eagles did, they went three defensive lines centered to the left, and Graham got matched up one-on-one with Winters with no help and beat him right there. So yeah, I mean, we're definitely going to see some regression to the mean in the positive way in the sacks area for Brandon Graham. It's hard to have takeaways because I still have issues with the pass coverage connected with the pass rush with the Eagles. Obviously, like we said, those pressures will eventually turn into sacks. You just hope it stays at a decent rate for the rest of the season. But again, it's hard with Luke Falk and this offensive line being what you're dealing with. We knew the run game for the Jets wasn't going to be too much of a threat. The only big play they've had so far this game was Eagles killer Vincent Smith with an end-around touchdown, a 19-yard touchdown to kind of pull this game sort of a little bit the point where we couldn't record.
Is he an Eagle killer? Has he done other things before that I don't remember?
Remember, he's the Limestone College kid that ran in the 4.3s. Mike Fury, yeah. The former Lions receiver, was his college coach. He was on the Texans. He burned Sewell last year late in the game. Remember that?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The deep one. That
Not at all. But congratulations to him.
So the UDFA is sticking around the league. Looking around some other stats that maybe we can talk about with this game. The Eagles for the season at one point, and they had a few of these early in the game, 18 straight on 3rd-and-4 or less. That ended in quarter 3. So the Eagles have been extremely efficient on the short third down conversions. They had another 4th down. The only thing that can stop a Wentz quarterback sneak is a bad spot, apparently, because I thought Wentz had that easy. I think you wanted to see more from the offense overall. The drives ended in a weird way in a couple places, and I think during the middle portions of the game when they were really slow, they had some early penalties that put them in disadvantageous down and distance situations. Still, I think overall the execution in the first half was not all that good. Obviously, those penalties coming in different situations for different reasons, but I know one was Sproles didn't expect Brooks to pick up the blocker, so when he went low, they had a high-low situation, so they got called for a cut block. I mean, it just seemed kind of sloppy overall.
It was Sayamalu, not Brooks.
Sayamalu, excuse me, the left guard. You're correct, Sayamalu.
Idiot.
What'd you think of the offensive performance throughout this game? Because I think they left some things on the table.
Right, yeah, I think the offense played better against Green Bay and the Mike Pettin defense, which had talent at all three levels that we lauded, as opposed to against a Jets defense coordinated by Greg Williams that was lacking for talent at multiple levels that we kind of disparaged.
And it was still a decent defense getting decent results from the major metrics, you know?
Yeah, and so the thing is, like, the Eagles offense came out and was a little flat. I think that the biggest issue was penalties. I think that they put themselves in second and longs, third and longs they didn't need to get. And, like, you know, Carson's numbers don't look as good because on third and 23, on second and 23, he's throwing 8-yard screens to Dallas Goedert, you know, and, like, yeah. Third and 30, it's like handoffs to Darren Sproles. They ran the ball a ton, which brings me to my one major takeaway on the offense. I'm in the, you know, I'm putting on my little tinfoil hat here. Is Doug Peterson trying to conceal early down tendencies by just running it on first down as much as possible? Because
in this game, I think he was.
They ran on almost every single first down. The only first and 10 to open a drive that I can remember them not running on was the one after the Jets scored. They ran play action and picked up a free 13 yards to Alshon Jeffrey on a slam, like as easy as bread and butter. It's very curious to me because things that we know. One, Peterson and the coaching staff make decisions with the input of forecasting models, with the input of analytic models that project, you know, expected points added per play and what the best game script sort of thing is. Okay, so we know that. Boom. We also know Peterson has previously been very pass heavy on early downs. He's willing to throw the ball on first and 10. This year, despite the fact that factor A and factor B have not changed, they're running the ball a ton on first and 10.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if the goal here in the first 6, 7 weeks, 8 weeks of the season is to really present a strong, hey, we run the ball on first and 10 a lot number, so that later in the season, they can throw it and work RPO games with play action pass games, which is not an unheard of thing. And I don't think they're, like, willing to lose for it. But I think that the Eagles are very willing to look like a more run-pass balanced team early in the season so as to break that balance potentially later, because for all that Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard are, for all that the offensive line has been over the past few weeks, which is impressive, which has been good, which is nice, this offense at its best when the ball's in Carson Wentz's hands and they're throwing the ball down the field. And maybe just Deshaun comes back and all of a sudden the first and 10 running goes away.
Yeah.
Maybe, because obviously with no Deshaun, again, even against the Packers, against the Jets now, they're throwing short of the sticks.
Yeah.
Short of six, short of six. Nothing is beyond the six. Everything is short. Everything is curls and his hitches and his slants. It's just the Nick Foles offense. So maybe once Deshaun comes back, it becomes easier to open up the intermediate windows. We have more room for deep shots and boom, all of a sudden, you know, we're passing on first and 10 again. But the storyline that interests me the most for the Eagles offense through the first 5 weeks of the season is the decision to run the ball constantly on first and 10. Because that's very surprising given the history we know for Peterson.
Yeah, and that's something I want to dive into when I chart this game and look at the overall season analytics and see when those happen and occur and how effective it's been for them. Because I still think passing is going to be more efficient for them ultimately. Like, I think that's what they want to be as a team. So it's an interesting thing to track as we go along here. And it's hard to, again, have takeaways from this game because of the game scripting. Of course, in this game, when you're up 14-0 in the beginning of the first quarter, two scores, yeah, you're going to run the ball and you're just going to try to get out of there. What about first quarter? The Eagles go up 14-0. Then fourth and 4, the Jets have it on the Philadelphia Eagles 37-yard line.
Mike.
What?
The Jets just put in Luke Falk. And guess what happened to Luke Falk on first and 10? Wait. He got sacked by Derek Barnett.
Wait, they put in Luke Falk? He was the start?
They pulled Luke Falk and put in David Fales.
Oh, David Fales. Wow.
Yes.
The San Jose State kid.
Oh, no, it was third and 4. Excuse me. It was third and 4. David Fales sacked for 8 yards by Derek Barnett.
10 sacks on the day.
They have 6 defensive linemen with a sack. Right? Ridgeway, Curry, Fox, Barnett, Sweat, Graham.
Oh, there it is.
And then Skandrick has 2 more.
I just saw it. Wow. 10 sacks for 10 sacks. The Eagles.
Mike, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing is, like, all of the numbers about the Eagles struggling to sack are now going to be, like, astronomically through the roof, and it's also going to be a complete lie.
And it's going to look like we never had a problem.
The bad sack numbers, right, the bad sack numbers were lying to you when they were bad, and now they're good, they're also still going to be lying to you.
This is why everything requires context. You cannot just look at a number, because both numbers, I believe, were wrong before and after this game. So the Eagles continue to get to the quarterback. I was just going to ask you, though, what's it like to have a coward coach first quarter, you're down 14-0, Adam Gase has the ball at the Philadelphia Eagles, 37-yard line, 4th-and-4. You miss a field goal. What's the point of goal? What's a field goal going to do for you in that situation? What is Adam Gase thinking? And Adam Gase, by the way, giving all the first-team reps to Sam Darnold throughout the entire week, like he even had a chance to play. Adam Gase is out of his freaking mind, dude. And I could not cover the Jets. I cannot cover a coward coach. That was one of the weirdest decisions, not from him, but one of the weirder decisions probably of the week for me.
What about anything that Adam Gase does makes sense?
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like it's not even like on the scale of Adam Gase weirdness, going for a field goal down 2 scores, 4th-and-4 from the Philadelphia Eagles 37 barely registers as like a one.
Sam Darnold practiced with the ones.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, that was my other point in there. What are you doing? You trying to kill your quarterback?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's insane, right? The doctors had the same Sam Darnold from Adam Gase. That's a problem.
You have your starting quarterback, second year, you know, potential franchise quarterback, is getting ultrasounds to see if his organs are good enough to play. And you don't want to give the potential starter any first-team reps?
Adam Gase and about 2% of the Eagles fan base thought this was legitimately a trap game.
Yeah. Which I guess, like, if you're Gase and you just think you're going to lose the game, then sure, kick a field goal. Sure. No reason to give Luke Falk first team reps. I don't know. Like Peterson punted on a 4th-and-5 from the 50.
Right, because he just didn't care.
I think if they were playing, you know, a different team, he would have thought a lot longer about going for it.
Absolutely.
But you got to give Cameron Johnson some practice punting from the 50 in the event that it's 4th-and-15 next time, because Johnson doesn't get to practice his coffin corner kicks very often, Mike, because the Eagles don't let him.
Yeah.
So you know, and that's kind of the other thing is that on top of the frequency of the running, the Eagles came out with those pin pull buck sweeps, double, you know, traps, and we had check calls, and there was a lot of moving parts on these running concepts, which felt very much to me like, hey, it'd be nice if we could do this in a real game.
Let's see if we can
get the checks correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, because if this goes for 0 yards, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah, and we have it on film. Now we can see what went wrong against these different types of fronts.
So, yeah, the Eagles gave they gave some interesting looks in the run game, and they ran the ball a lot. They gave very vanilla looks in the passing game. Carson was fine.
Yeah.
He didn't make any bad decisions. The two Aguilar misses are both annoying because not only were there illegal contact on both and only one was called, but you do wonder if 13 is 10, even with that illegal contact.
Right.
Deshaun has a chance to get out of those balls. Because, like, I know Aguilar's a fast dude, but nobody's got pickup like Deshaun does. Either way, those deep shots, I think it was nicely on target for those. Worked the middle of the field very nicely, very effectively. Only throw that was just not great was the 3rd-and-1 to Goddard, where Adams broke it up, where he just left it behind. It's okay. Mm-hmm. He had, like, a 3rd-and-7 wheel route to Sanders that he, like, you know, tried to get Sanders killed on. He tries to get his running backs killed on those swing routes sometimes, which is annoying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, offense-wise, like, Wentz looked fine. Offensive line looked fine. Running backs, you know, Howard still looks good. Sanders still looks inconsistent, but has nice flashes. I have no idea what happened on the Corey Clement punt, if that ball actually touched Craig, Alex, Lewis, James, whatever the guy's name is. If it touched his heel or not,
I think
either way, it was not like a well-coordinated special teams endeavor, regardless of who the first deal was to touch it. So he continues to not get, you know, Clement's running back 4, and he continues to not be a big part of this game plan. Running back 3, Darren Sproles, we should say, is now 5th on the all-time list for all-purpose yards. Big ups, Darren.
Congrats.
The whole reason he was signed to a 1-year deal in 2018
was to do this.
And then he got injured. And so then it became the whole reason he was signed to a 1-year deal in 2019. But he's top 5 on the list, and I think that's Shagadelic, baby.
Are you ready for why so much Sproles? Because we do this with every running back every week.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me if I was ready for something else. And if it was what you were going to say, I do have a written statement prepared that I'd like to read.
Okay. So tell us about Nate Gary.
How did you know?
Come on, brother.
from the desk of Benjamin Solak, October 6th, 2019. In my capacity as the deputy editor for Bleeding Green Nation, the on-air talent for BGN Radio, I have been openly and publicly critical of the performance of third-year Philadelphia Eagle linebacker Nate Gary, who was a 6th-round pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, parentheses, actually he might have been a 5th-round pick, I can't remember, but I don't feel like Googling it, close parentheses. Over the course of the 2019 season, Nate Gary has seen significant playing time due to injuries in front of him at the linebacker position, parentheses, it's important to note this is not because he's been playing well, it's been because of injuries, close parentheses. Subsequently, Nate Gary has had 2 key interceptions in Philadelphia Eagles games, as well as a couple of very laughable plays against play action, period. Any time that Nate Gary makes a good play, I get added on Twitter. and I would like to give a public statement to this point. Nate Gary is still bad at football, period. Oh, man, I almost pulled it off. Dang it. Okay. Nate Gary's still bad at football. He's made some good plays. Come, I'll give him that. But he's made him against Luke Falk and a broken Matt Ryan, who has oatmeal for brains. The Eagles do not want Nate Gary taking significant reps unless he continues to be the most inexplicable ball magnet in the NFL. I take back nothing unless Nate Gary hears this, in which case, White Snake, I take back everything. Cordially yours, Benjamin Solak.
I would like to apologize for absolutely nothing. We'll be back here on the Kist and Solak show right after this. And we are back here on the Kist and Solak show, episode 129, SB Nation, Bleeding Green Nation. That's what it's powered by. And you're here with Michael Kist and Benjamin Solak. Ben, so the score is final. As we were recording, the game ended, or the scrimmage ended, the walkthrough ended for the Eagles, 31-6. They take care of business against the Jets. I feel very good for making fun of literally everyone that tried to call this a trap game, not only on Twitter, but also in the BGN comments on some of my articles. We apparently do not have the type of power that people thought we did. Our confidence did not cause a trap game. So here we are. Eagles move to 3-2.
That's my favorite part of the trapping thing is like, you can't, guys, if the team hears this, the team does not care.
We don't have that kind of divine power. And if we did, you should show us some respect. But major game coming up today with the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. Once we get the final score of that, and once the press conferences happen for the Eagles, of course, we'll have that at the podium with the postgame pressers. And then Doug from tomorrow, I'll throw on some thoughts, or maybe it'll be John Stolness doing it, but someone from BGN will be giving you thoughts on Monday on what that means for the division. Obviously, this is starting to look like a situation where the Eagles and Cowboys Week 7 game is going to be for the division lead. It's just a matter of working out the semantics. The Eagles do have a nice challenge coming up ahead of them with the Minnesota Vikings. They'll be playing the Vikings at home, where the Vikings have been markedly better. So there's that. It's four times the challenge as the Jets and probably half the challenge as the Cowboys. Would you agree with that?
Right, but it's the same quarterback.
It's this Luke Falk and Kirk Cousins?
No.
I mean, at least they have Diggs and Thielen. Like, that's the test for the secondary.
They can't play against the Vikings as they just played against the Jets.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yes.
Any other thoughts before we get to three words? Because this was, again, hard to have takeaways. Oh, I want to set you up for this. I wanted to set you up for this. I told you beforehand that I would set you up for this. Jake Elliott is perfect on the season. I'm going to need some help winning the bet on predicting under 85% for Elliott for the season. So I'm going to call myself out for that one. Ben, would you like to brag about your son, Jake?
No, there's no need to. This is who he is.
Oh, geez.
He's Mr. Automatic. Okay. And he's never not been.
All right.
So there's no reason to treat this as anything other than run-of-the-mill, what is expected, Mr. Business suit and tie, Jake Elliott. I do want to have a couple things on the defensive side.
Yeah, go for it.
Whoever was calling the game, which I cannot remember who is who anymore, they said that Rodney McLeod has been one of the most consistent, if not the most consistent defender for the Philadelphia Eagles this year.
Disagree.
To it, I would say no.
Right.
But Ryan McLeod played a good game.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins also played out of his mind.
Friggin' outstanding.
Which when there's a team that's going to give Le'Veon Bell, you know, 75% of the touches, which is not an exaggeration.
Right.
On offense, Jenkins was hugely important because Jenkins was dealing with any plays outside of the tackles for Le'Veon Bell.
Absolutely.
When he was flexed out as a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. When it was outside style runs, when it was screens, Jenkins all the time dealing with those plays. And I thought he was tremendous against who remains a very talented running back in Le'Veon Bell.
I agree.
Defensive line wise, obviously, like it was, you know, sharks with blood on the water a little bit. You know, 10 sacks, there's no way to hide the fact that everybody was going to eat, as Jim Tom Sula was going to say. But I did think that Akeem Spence had his best game thus far, which like matters because Akeem Spence has been bad and he was supposed to be the solution.
Mm.
So I liked to see the fact that Akeem Spence was actually making plays for once. That was very well.
Ridgeway made one too. Yeah, he had a sack for himself.
He's been solid. Like inconsistent. He's inconsistently good.
Yeah.
Is my thing. It's like he has splash plays and then he has bad plays.
Right.
And obviously, ideally, you'd like that to somewhere level out in the middle, so you at least know what you're getting out of him.
Mm-hmm.
But he remains like interesting, more so than a 7th round pick would have been for sure. So anyway, yeah, those are just a couple of defensive guys that stood out to me.
I like it. Raiders just beat the Bears So the Bears, what do they move to? 3-2, if I'm not mistaken?
Why would you ever, ever just go play in London? Like, just explain it to me slowly.
Yeah, I can't.
Remember the Jaguars-Eagles game? Like, none of it made sense. It was so dirty and bad. Just don't do it.
I agree.
I'm pretty sure, like, they don't have a choice, but still, don't.
All right, Ben, you ready to go to three words every week, if you're new to this? Every week at the end of the game or in the middle of the fourth quarter, if they're playing the Jets, we ask for three words from the gentle listeners to describe the game that just happened. And let's see what we got here. I think the first one that we had from John Stolness here from BGN. Sacks are good. Simply stated.
Prove it.
It's fact. This at 83% of the time sacks end a drive or result in the end of a drive, if I'm not mistaken. There you go.
I don't know what it is, but yeah, sacks are good.
Yeah, of course you don't. I do, though, and I just proved it. Ben, you see anything?
Gingerbeard11, PFan90, who has been great contributor for three words for quite some time, says, fire Jim Schwartz. Keeping the streak alive, and I appreciate that. He did have 10 sacks, 2 defensive touchdowns, so...
Weird week.
Some give and take here. I think there's two sides to every coin, Mike.
I appreciate the commitment.
Open discourse and debate is important. So yep. My stance, good day for the defense. His stance, fire Jim Schwartz. I think that's very fair.
It's always one. Teddy Buriani at TJ Buriani. No takeaways here. I mean, it's pretty hard to take away anything
from
this game.
Three takeaways. Three takeaways.
If we're taking that literally, then yes. Mark Holoka, yeah. Kind of along the same lane at Holoka_Mark, week 5 scrimmage. This basically what this was.
Yeah.
Let's see. Are there any funny ones? The Jake Evans responded to Gingerbeard11 at the Jake Evans X with rehire Jim Schwartz. So Jim Schwartz has been fired and rehired on this podcast within a minute.
I liked what we got from Casey Young at _Casey Young. Carson game manager ? Because while I was watching this game, I was like, I can't wait for fans of a certain Texas-based fan base to be like, Carson Wentz struggled against the Jets because Carson like didn't have to do anything this week. Carson did not have a pretty game on the stat sheet. You know what I mean? Also, big ups to Josh Semro at LeButt, butt spelt with 4 U's and 1 T.
Oh, the butt.
The boot? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The butt, yeah. But he responded with Jets bad, which is great because what he wanted to say is objectively a 3-word sentence.
Mm.
Jets are bad.
Yeah.
He could have said the Jets bad, but he worked as hard as he could to make sure it was less than 3 words, which usually when we have a problem with the directions,
right,
it's in the other direction. We got 10 words. He decided to go for 2 words on a sentence that very easily could have and should have been 3 words.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the hustle and making sure he knew this was going to get read. Because he knew if he didn't follow the instructions, I was going to have to point it out.
Right, exactly.
Very cleverly done.
I like it. Z Gucci at Playoff Gucci or at Playoff Z Gucci says, defense scoring touchdowns. Let's talk about Orlando Scandrick. Like, we talked about Nate Gary. We can move along past that. You issued a non-apology. I issued my non-apology as well. Orlando Scandrick, who I thought when the Eagles signed him like in the offseason, I was like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They need depth. He's a veteran guy. He played decent last year. No problem. He comes in, makes like a jumping sack looking like B-Doc to strip the ball, takes it back for a touchdown to pretty much finally really close the casket on this game. So, hey, I mean, you really can't complain. I didn't hear Scandrick's name other than that strip sack touchdown. That is solid.
Scandrick also threw himself a little like move. He like engaged and then like push pulled and got the corner.
Yeah.
Like that was not regular corner blitz. Like he did some work on that. So respect to the veteran. He's clearly thrown that a few times in his day, right? I liked that a fair bit as well. The only other one that I saw that I liked, Troy Kaz at Troy to Kaz says Gary defeats Solak. We also had Veronica Zinni at VZin_BBY said Gary can catch ? And so I appreciated everybody. And also, yeah, this is the last one. Matt Sigda at Matt Sigda, White Snake respect. I will say, I think Gary spells White Snake as one word, though you'd have to ask White Snake that.
That's gross.
However, so big ups. I'm a big fan of the fact that we've got a low number, about 160 responses on this one, and at least 3 of them are about Nate Gary, bane of my existence.
So that's going to do it for the Kissed and Solak Show, episode 129. This less than enthused recap, we apologize for the Eagles' win. They move to 3-2 on the season with more important games ahead, and we'll have you covered here at BGN. Of course, like I said, at the podium, we'll address some of what goes down with the Cowboys and Packers and what's going on inside the division. And of course, we'll have some film review stuff that Ben will tell you all about. Ben, say goodbye to the gentle listeners.
Hello. here's the film review things you need to know. I'm going to get it all right on the first try. So as Mike said, there'll be more Cowboys and other NFC East related reactions in the later shows after the Cowboys play and hopefully lose to the Green Bay Packers. That'll be at the podium Monday through Tuesday. The film review show will hopefully come out Tuesday into Wednesday as we get access to the All 22. Expect that on Wednesday. Yep. And then the Eagles have the Vikings on Sunday coming up in Minnesota, if memory serves. And so there'll be two preview shows for that. Looking for probably Friday, Saturday, maybe Thursday, Friday on those. Offense versus defense, and then defense versus offense, as is our typical structure. Babes on Broad, BGN Radio preview show.
Uh-huh.
That's like eight shows. There's no way we do more than that, right?
I'm going to bring back Eye on the Enemy because I haven't been doing them because, I mean, I didn't want to talk about this Jets game any more than I had to. So I'm going to do one probably with, I'll probably get our buddy Arif Hassan to do an Eye on the Enemy episode with me and him.
New homeowner Arif Hassan.
Yeah, he joined the homeowner club. Welcome, buddy.
So that's the plan for the podcast this week. What's cool is that you're a listener and you're a fan and you like listening to us, which is nice. And so the moral of the story is we've got a ton of different shows upcoming this week to put the Jets fully to bed, not as if the past 4 hours wasn't enough for that, and then move on to the Minnesota Vikings and week six. So we are on to Minnesota. If you enjoyed the podcast, which we hope you did, go ahead, rate, review, and subscribe on whatever app you listen to the show, especially if it's iTunes, because that's the one that matters. The rest of them are kind of pointless, unless you don't have an iPhone. I understand. I used to have an Android, too. But anyway, I'm on Twitter, at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. He's on Twitter, at Michael Kist, NFL. That's K-I-S-T. Jets are done. Eagles have a winning record, 3-2. And we will catch you later this week.
We all we got. I'm sorry, I just got totally thrown off because the Steelers won a coin toss in overtime, and they deferred to Baltimore. We all we got. We all we need.
What?
Fly, Eagles.
What?